Hello and welcome to episode 13, season 2 of the Purple Pouch with Duck and Oz. Two dedicated Fremantle football fans bringing you a Fremantle football podcast. We're previewing. Is that even a word? Previewing.
Hey, why not?
Previewing. We're previewing. We're previewing Dockers versus GWS at 2:35 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. Oz, I tell you what, mate, I'm pretty pumped. The Dockers, listening to Duff and Quarters, our favourites. Look, Dockers, since coming back from the hub, 5-3. Oh, I think after their first four losses, 5-3. So really, really looking really positive, mate. And I tell you what, had a chat to Benny Neitz over the old Facebook. He runs a dedicated Dockers Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter. Does a great job there. Mate, at the start of the year, I was down and out. I was down and I was dirty, mate. And I was like, where's the hope? Who's the third best player? You know, what are these young blokes doing? And I tell you what, mate, every week, I'm pumped.
That's the beauty about this team, mate. You don't know where the gem's going to come from. And that's what I love about J-Lo, coaching philosophy, finding gems, molding them. Well, and you know me, mate, glass half full all the time.
Yeah, you are.
I've been riding this finals bus and, mate, I tell you, look, the wheels may be a little rickety.
Yep.
We may be hitting a lot of bumps. We might be running out of petrol, but we're still a sniff.
Always a sniff, mate.
Always a sniff.
And, you know, hopefully we can finish the season strong because the last couple of years, I mean, since we were doing the Purple Rain podcast, we've always finished the season very poorly. A couple of 100-point floggings, really, you know, the younger bodies just quite falling over the line. But if we can finish strong in WA, we can take some really positive vibes and some good energy, yeah, boys, kind of stuff over to Cairns and to Queensland, and we can have another good hub. I think if we can have a good hub away, that will be a real character builder.
Yes.
Mate, on that note, let's get back to this game that we're looking at. I think we've never played GWS at Optus, mate. Never played GWS at Optus.
Yes.
GWS, obviously, 0-2 in the hub in WA, the WA hub. Really poor game against Sydney. And a really, not a bad game against Eagles, but they started off poorly and they fought their way back. Mate, one thing that I noticed as well, GWS won the inside 50 count in both games. I tell you what, you don't want to be bombing it in when the Bash Brothers are at the back.
That's right.
Obviously, 13th versus 11th. Last time we played them, Oz, as well, we beat them in Canberra. So 82 to 106. How about this? Matera kicked 4 goals. Tabs kicked 3, Sonny kicked 3, and Hogan kicked 3.
Yeah, that was the game where we thought, here we go with Hogan.
Yeah.
I just thought, it's coming together.
Mm.
And then I think, isn't it from this game that we start getting the injuries?
No, I think we play, because we play one more home game.
Yes, that's right.
And then we play against Collingwood.
That's where the injuries,
Maybe the best win under Ross the Boss.
Could possibly from be.
From 2016 to 2019.
Of a game.
And like, they challenged us and we really fought back hard. Look, Oz, we haven't got the team, so it's time to go to the match committee, mate. I don't know what the sound is for match committee. No sound?
We'll just
bit of Freo?
Yeah, why not?
Well, mate, we sit down, we have a conversation, match committee. Look, I've only got two guys who I've got a little bit of a target around. And they're two experienced players, and that's Stephen Hill and Rory Lobb, mate. Stephen Hill, obviously, look, I'm not sure where he fits. I don't know, but is it because he's been injured and he's getting his form back and things like that? You know, what do we do with someone like a Hill? Are we thinking maybe being Bewley back in, who wasn't really setting the world on fire? Maybe even bringing a Tobe Watson? You know, something like that? Or is it... What are we doing with Hill?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. I think it's really hard to make changes in a team that performs really well.
Mm.
And when a team performs well, do you continue to tinker with the system, or do you just go, I think this is the formula for the time being? I agree that Hill's been down on form, but he's such a class act by foot.
Yeah.
You just don't know when he's going to turn it on. And I've just got a feeling that when he's given the opportunity to, I think, especially against a team like GWS who love to run and gun, I think he's going to get more opportunity by foot. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity to impact the game more so than what he did in the previous game. And we talked about how teams love to center in on a Stephen Hill.
Yeah.
I think this is his opportunity to step up, mate.
Maybe. And, you know, might be able to hit him on the slingshot on the counter.
Maybe.
Also, it's pretty hard to drop a back six that concedes two goals. Yeah. You know, and he's part of that back six. The other guy is obviously Rory Lobb, mate. And I know the thing is that do you bring in Hogan for Lobb, right? If you bring him in, what it does is it stuffs up the structure for everything else, unfortunately. So
Tabs has to go into the ruck more often.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is Hogan good enough to go into the ruck and compete? You know, that's the thing. All you got to do is compete, and it's only for a minute or two. Mm. Now, with Lobb, the other thing is that we've got that you know, that complete switch. If it's not working in there for Darcy, we can flip Lobb in. And that's when he plays his best footy a lot of the time. So, I don't know. I just feel like Lobb has had a pretty average last month. And, you know, apart from, I think, the game against Collingwood, which was about a month ago now, when he, in the last quarter, he went up against Grundy and really just took it to him and got us on top in the midfield, pardon me.
Yeah.
But, look, it messes with the structure. So, my match committee selection is no changes,
mate.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to agree. I would love to have seen Jesse Hogan. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an emergency. I can't see Jesse Hogan coming into the back six when it's so solid. Maybe,
what about front six?
Well, look, possibly. And I said maybe, you know, that there is a guy that is just an absolute tackling beast. His pressure is relentless.
You better not be talking about bloody spleen, mate, because I'll...
No. We leave the spleen alone. but I'm thinking maybe he comes in for a small forward, someone like a Schultz. But, I mean, Schultz's been so good in terms of his tackling pressure.
Fine day on a Saturday as well. And you think Hogan last time kicked three goals last time out.
And something else about Lobb, which really needs to be taken into consideration, is the volume of his contested marks, which, again, if we are going down the line, if it's not Tabs, it needs to be someone else. He does take those contested marks. And like you said before, really structures up well. So I'm going to say 100% no change for me.
Mate, can we go shout out to the match committee that listened obviously to the patch last week and the change of Henry for Bewley. Thank you very much. And Conker and Papley. But we, I don't
do you think,
we're
he's, gonna... I think he's better for the run, by the way. No, we haven't spoken about Henry. But I think he's far better for the run. And I'm just... You could just see there are patches there where you go, he's just there.
Mate, he ended up with six marks on the game. So, he's presenting. And I honestly think the honey and vinegar, the honey of Frederick and Henry and the vinegar of Crowden and Schultze, you know, that just that yin and the yang, mate, that you've got to have, you know, the grunt and the hustle of Schultz and Crowden. Croden, sorry, and then the class of Frederick and Henry and their speed, their pace around the contest. It was interesting. Henry's first game since a PSA game.
Wow.
So, and he said after the game, mate, you know, I'm getting used to the speed.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, hopefully he's like, all right, this is what the speed is now. But, I mean, for you to come in for your first game of seniors football, and be like, oh, I'm playing it. I mean, I know a lot of people do it, but no practice matches, no games appeal, nothing like that. His first game of senior football against Sydney on the big stage, nearly could have kicked two.
Because the twos don't really count when they're limited numbers.
Well, 12 aside, mate. 12 aside, okay, mate. Give me a break. Like, so much space.
A lot of promise.
Oz, onto the matchups, mate. My first matchup. I'm going, look, one guy that's putting zeros on his contract, one guy's taken zeros off his contract, and that's half of the Bash brothers, Brandon Cox versus Jeremy Cameron. So Cameron, mate, heat is on him. Heat is on him big time. Look, his money's dropping off his contract, like I said before. Every poor game he plays, he's kicked 18 goals, 9 for the year, but only one goal so far in the WA hub. On the other side, we've got the Bash bro in Coxie. Mate, look, most improved player just about this year for the Dockers, and he was already really solid. Like, we thought he was a solid forward. He could be a swingman. He could be a Mr. Fix-It. Mate, he's been so good over the last month. You know, outstanding with his contested marks. Had five contested marks last week. And, you know, he's really putting, and because he's out of contract at the end of this year, mate, he's putting a couple of dollar signs on the end of that contract. And he's filled a void where we've gone, no Pierce, no Hamling. And we're like, oh, crap. And Cox, he's had a bit of a stop start with his hip flexor and his groin and things like that. But now he's settled. And, mate, he looks every part of that All-Australian centre-half back that he was as a junior.
Yeah.
And a second-round pick, and he looks like a really, really good player.
Yeah, I love it. The continuity was the thing that was my concern. Obviously, you had a fair amount of time off with groin issues mainly, and it's great to see him back on deck. It's great to see him have that consistency, and we're just seeing the fruits of a great run at it, and he's found this synergy with Luke Ryan. And as you said, the Bash brothers, they're really hard to beat. Like, not just the Bash brothers, but the whole back six. We're going to have to come
back
up
six,
with a
mate.
Back six.
Mate, well, it's just well, back six,
gonna
back
to,
six.
We're going to have to come
chicks,
up
mate.
With some sort of name.
Mate, it's just back six, mate. That's all.
Legion of Doom.
Oh, mate.
Who knows?
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Doom. Doom.
Mate, that's, oh yeah, maybe something for that, for the back six.
It's
because
the back
they
six,
are.
Mate.
I mean, but we've got, again, I don't want to say it's not so much the Bash brothers, but we also got the quiet two, the
yes.
librarian boys in Conker and Hughes that just go about their business every week. We got the third Bash brother in Dooman. Okay, and then we got Hilly, who's the Silk, and Wilson, who are the two yeah. Silk players at the
Wilson
back there.
Wilson gets so, bashed, just keeps getting back up.
Actually, Wilson's bloody, he's
he
a,
loves
he's
it.
A hard nut, mate.
He is such a hard nut. And you got to just point to this. He does not get enough credit for being the hard man that he is.
Yeah.
Because is it because it's his stature that people just don't talk about his hardness?
Yeah.
Because have you seen how hard that guy goes at it?
And I really think as well, we talked about it on the rain about that first quarter I think it was Collingwood.
Mm.
And he really, really let himself down with a couple of positional plays and a couple of kicks and things like that. And after that quarter, I don't know if I'd love to know if J-Lo spoke to him after that quarter, because he came out like a man possessed and has influenced the rest of the games that he's played in.
And he's come along big time.
Yep. All right, your matchup, Oz.
Well, you talked about height, ruck before. That's actually my matchup for today. I've got Sean Darcy versus Shane Munford. So Munford's second game back, obviously against the Eagles, trying to get a little bit of form back. Still a little bit rusty, but I think GWS sort of stand taller when they see Shane Munford in the team, because he's such a big character. It's not just obviously his physical size, but it's the character in which they build a lot of the midfield around. And if you look at the actual physicality and the matchup between Darcy and Munford, it's pretty close. So Darcy's taller, 202 versus 198. According to the statistics, we've got Darcy.
Whoa. Munford's 198?
Yeah, that's what they've got him listed as.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I thought, like, if you told me what was his height, I'd be like, 204. Yeah. Easy.
But he's barrel-chested, so he looks a lot bigger than what he actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
So Darcy, it's listed at 113 kegs, but I think he slimmed down more so than that. And they've got Munford listed, at 105 kegs. So statistics through this season are limited because Munford has had a limited run at it, but Darcy has been obviously more consistent and his numbers reflect that. What I'm going to be interested in more so than anything else, if I could quickly talk about it, is hitouts. And if you look at Munford's hitouts so far this year, you know, starts off 17, then goes to 20, 16, 21, 30, and then goes out for a little bit, comes back against the Eagles, 24 hitouts. Last time he played Frio, 2019, he had 40 hitouts. He had 5 tackles, spent 85% time on ground. The more hitouts he gets, the more touches for Hopper, Taranto, and Coniglio and co. You know, you'd think Darcy being able to nullify that first hands-on-the-football scenario is going to be big for us. What I'm really interested to see, Duck, is the physicality between these two boys.
Yeah.
I've seen Darcy evolve now. He's certainly taking on the hits more so than what he has done in the past.
Yep.
He's being more physical than what he has in the past. But more importantly, he hasn't given away free kicks as much as what he...
Well, since the Geelong game where it was atrocious.
Yep.
He has just bounced back and he's put together a pretty good month of footy against some good ruckmen as well.
Yeah.
And I really think, I mean, the funny thing is, Oz, isn't it, that Sean Darcy was seen, his player type is Shane Munford type ruckman.
Yeah.
That's what they kept saying. Like, this guy is a big boy and he's going to be like Big Mummy, you know? And I was kind of like, at the time, I'm like, well, is that where footy's going? Do we need maybe a more athletic ruckman? Rah, rah, rah. But I mean, Darcy, he's only 22 at the moment, 21, 22. He's still a young pup, you know? So he's got a lot of work to do. And I think the thing will be, Oz, hopefully, if Lobb and Darcy do that tag team.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So to finish that off, it's important to have both of them working in tandem against a Mumford to wear him down. He's certainly not match fit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's building back into form. I'm talking about, obviously, Mumford here. But if Darcy gives him one look, very physical, Lobb gives him another look, which is different, more athletic.
Yeah, jump all over him.
Jumping all over him, getting that knee in.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to wear Mumford down. He's not going to be as fit as Darcy and Lobb and being able to take them on over the course of four quarters. So I'm hoping Darcy gets on top early, you know, gets that confidence. This is a big matchup for me.
Yeah. And you know what? Like you said, those midfielders that you said, Cornelio, Hopper, Kelly, they got Whitfield. They got still got a class midfield.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, we've got the likes of Sarong, Mundy, Fife, Sonny Walters, Brayshaw, you know, Chera running through there, Blakely. You know, so I think the midfield matchup actually is starting to look a bit more even, but we need that ruck dominance like we have in the past with Sandy. We need it now with Darcy, especially in this game, mate. Look, my forward matchup, mate, is Tabs versus Core. And obviously, Tabs has been the missing link, mate. And I'm not talking the link between apes and human beings. I'm talking about the missing link between the Dockers forward line and the midfield. Mate, we know about his contested mark, his inside 50 marks, his lead marks, his goal kicking. It's all elite. You know, he's coming fourth in the Coleman, and he's really had a standout year. And is it because he's not playing in the ruck? Is it because he's not injured? Is it because, you know, he's finally matured and he is 27 years old, I think, 27, 28, and he's finally putting together a big chunk of footy, and, you know, he's able to stay home. And I think that's as well, that's what we've got to think about, Oz, with these players, you know, being able to stay in WA for a month and just play at home and sleep in your own bed and get to go to work every day and training every day and keep playing and not having, I play one good game one Saturday and then the next Saturday I'm away and I'm outside and I don't really play that good a game and then my confidence down. Then the next game, oh yeah, I regain my confidence and I come back and I'm like, oh, I'm away again. What's going on? You know, this and that. I think that's had a big part to play in the development of these guys. But obviously, Core, look, he's the power defender. He did a solid job on JK last week, kept him to one goal, but he'll need to defend well on Tabs, mate. And obviously, Phil Davis is out, so they've got a big job back there with the GWS defense, because if you can get Tabs, then you go a long way to winning, and Tabs will be the key to us winning this week.
Yeah, it's one of the things I talked about on the rain duck was my love for Tabs. He, for me, his stats are all Australian stats. People need to realize this. You know, fifth for total marks, second for total contested marks, sixth goals per game, obviously, fifth for marks inside 50, fifth for total marks inside 50, and then if you look at how he compares against other power forwards, the only power forward that has stats consistently better than Tabs is Hawkins.
Yeah.
That's it. He basically is more consistent than the other power forwards. He's averaging more marks. He certainly has a better conversion rate. And we went through that, which is quite interesting. I didn't look at tonight's game, so I don't know if these statistics change. So, you know, the top three statistics in terms of accuracy, Hawkins 64% scoring accuracy, Kennedy 65%, Dixon 58%, Tabs 74%.
Yeah.
Now, like I said,
kick goals, mate.
He kicks goals. Occasionally, the ones that don't score points are going to fall, but we don't talk about that. We talk about his reality of 74%
and
sitting
Oz,
fourth in the Coleman.
You think about this as well, the goals that he missed in Queensland. And there was a couple where you just like, oh my God, Tabs. You know, the goal in the goal square against the Eagles, the drop mark against Brisbane. You know, that's two more goals, plus all the other goals that he's missed where you're just like, oh my God. But now it's kind of like, oh, he's got this.
Yeah.
Mate, he's got this. He's got this anywhere inside 50.
Yep.
Even the pockets, the left, the right foot snap, mate. Very, very keen.
Oh, big time.
All right. Oz, shall we go to a break?
We shall do indeed.
All right. When we come back, Dual Citizens and the best time they met. Welcome back to episode 13, season 2 of the Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Hey.
Two Fremantle football fans bringing you a Fremantle football podcast. Thank you very much to the Fremantle Football Club for having us. We're over at the Purple Rain, guys. So if you want to join our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, we're at Purple Rain 95.
Boom, diesel.
And you can listen to our Monday review show. Oz, mate, onto Dual Citizens, mate. And look, a few of the Dual Citizens are still playing. Obviously, we've got the Roaring Lobster, De Boer. We've got Mzungu from Past Times. We've got Tommy T-Train still on a list. We've got, what's his name, Wilson, playing for the Dockers at the moment. But I thought I'd go to someone who isn't playing, mate.
Here we go.
Guy by the name of Reece Risty Palmer, mate. Old Risty. Look, mate, and you do a deep dive on Reece Palmer, mate, and there's some good stuff that comes up. Obviously, in the State 18s, he was a part of the WA winning side in 07, which was a fantastic side. I think they had Morton, Marston, and Palmer all go in the first, like, seven picks. He came second in the 3K time trial at the draft trials, and fifth in the beep test. Okay? Runner-up in the Lark medal. Played a couple of games for East. I think they said he averaged 32 disposals and three games in the State 18s.
Wow.
That's unbelievable, wow, mate. 32 disposals in three games. Pick seven overall, just in the old retro pick. Pick eight was Lockie Henderson. He would have been not. I mean, he went to Brisbane, then Geelong. I don't know if he's... He's a bit better than Palmer, I guess. Look, obviously played for the Dockers from 08 to 11. Best year in 08, obviously, mate. Wins the Rising Star over Cyril. Retrospectively, not great. But look, he averaged 23 disposals. You know, kicks 10 goals.
Stats don't lie.
2008, he also wins the Beacon Award, which is, you know, we're just the Beacon Award,
There's
mate.
There's questions over the link.
Is there a curse on the Beacon Award, mate? Because there have been some cursed players to win the Beacon.
Yep.
Drummy, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Clem Michael won a Beacon. You know, Doddy. And guys that just didn't quite reach their potential. Mate, obviously 2009, he does his knee in about round five. So really, really, and that I think was the beginning of the end for Reece, because he lost his explosive pace. He couldn't find a spot in the team. He went from a midfielder to a forward pocket, you know, and obviously his one lasting impact on the Dockers was breaking Michael Barlow's leg, which is, it's a terrible thing to say, but it was a lot his fault, you know, leave the ball to the guy going towards the goal. You know, snaps his leg. Mickey Barlow's
career.
Can't doubt
the courage, though, going back with the fly.
Yeah, but Mickey Barlow's career now dissects on a different line. And, you know, how are we going there? But, I mean, it's a tale of two injuries, isn't it, for the Dockers? One guy doing his knee, another guy breaking his leg. Look, in 2012, he goes to GWS, and we actually get a end of the first round pick for him. Mate, have a look at that draft. GWS get, like, I think it's, like
30 picks.
11 of the first 13 picks of GWS. Do. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we got Hayden Crozier with our pick, you know, and we did. I didn't realise this, Oz. We did bid. So Tom Mitchell's the pick after. We bid for Tom Mitchell. Now, why we didn't bid for Tom Mitchell when we had in the Tommy Sheridan pick, which was the pick beforehand, you know, why I don't know what the bidding system was or whether or not you got to use your next pick, Sydney did. So, you know, we did bid for Tom Mitchell, which was, I didn't realise that. That's a very interesting
thing.
I did
not know that.
Well, it was on Wikipedia, so it has to be true.
Yeah.
Mate, obviously, he'll also be known for a number of other things. In 2017, I believe it was, he was traded to Carlton for pick 135.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a bigger pick trade, mate. And also, obviously, in the space of 2 days, mate, he had a pretty tough summer. Friday night, gets on the sauce, throws a shoe at Gloucester Park. Tough summer.
Tough summer.
Then the next day, mate, he's in a motorbike accident. He's in an induced coma. I mean, talk about just a really tough 48 hours for old Reece, mate. And just, he's selling property at one stage, mate. But look, he went back to Swan Districts, played a bit for them. Who knows, he's free, oh boy. But look, Reece Palmer, mate. The thing that I remember is when he burst onto the scene, we're like, oh man, we got a really good midfielder here.
Yeah.
And I remember the Eagles picked Chris Marston at three. We're like, oh, you idiots. You should have got Palmer's way better than Marston. And I feel like their careers probably would have been flipped if they went to the different clubs anyway. They would have been pretty similar.
Yeah. I think Reece Palmer, just like you said, absolute flash, just comes in, all guns blazing, great football, and just that tragic injury.
Injury.
And seeing what could have been just sort of slip away.
Yeah.
It's quite sad, but by the same token, he still managed to keep, you know, trudging along and finding another home here and there. And good on him for keeping the dream alive. But yeah. What could have been?
Yeah, and he ended up playing 123 games, mate, and kicked 95 goals. So that's a lot more games than me and you.
Yeah.
You know, so look, he's playing over 100 games in AFL is a bloody good effort, yep. You know. And he was, like, you think about that first year, and if he doesn't do that knee recon, you know, if he doesn't do his knee, he's averaging 20 possessions a game. And yeah, his skills were a bit average, but his pace, he lost that pace, you know, and he lost that real burst after doing his knee, mate. Oz, shall we go to... best time they met, mate.
Well, here we go. DeLorean time, mate. Set it. Sunday, 11th of August, 2013, 2:40 p.m.
Ooh.
Attendance, 31,390. Absolutely gagging for a bloodbath. Frio supporters at Subiaco. Mate, there was a big, big sound coming at halftime from the toilets of the change rooms of the GWS Giants because the final score, mate, 24-13, 157 Fremantle.
Jeez.
6-8-44, Greater Western Sydney. That's a margin of 113 points, Duck.
Was this the first time we played them?
This was 2013... I don't know if it was the first time.
They came in 12.
So this happened to be, Duck, the year of all years for Fremantle. We know this.
Yeah.
Okay, 2013. We're vying for a premiership. Not so much the GWS.
No, they're just starting off.
And to be fair to the young guys, this was their team on the day. Taylor Adams, Tommy Bug, Jeremy Cameron, Stephen Coniglio, Phil Davis, Toby Green... Tommy Moore, Tom Scully, Devin Smith, Adam Tomlinson, Adam Treloar, Callum Ward played, Lockie Whitfield, Zach Williams, Nathan Wilson.
Yeah.
These are all players that are still
going around. Guns now, so a lot of guns.
Obviously,
in there.
The reason why they lost the game by such a margin was because they were kids.
Yeah.
And that was the talent that was able to be picked so early by GWS.
Yeah.
You know, unlike Frio, who never got such concessions, don't start me, Duck. But obviously, what could have been? Now, let's have a look at the Fremantle side that was just on fire. Now, if we're talking disposals, 26 disposals for our man Nick Subin, my humps. Lockie Neal, 26 possessions. Michael Barlow, 27 possessions. 20 hitouts for Zach Clark. 28 hitouts for Aaron Sanderlands. Now, multiple goal kickers. More multiple goal kickers here. Then memes for the big, big sound on the grand final. And if you haven't already, do yourself a favor. If you can find the various memes for big, big sound, my favorite one has to be the Russian rave guy, you know. if you haven't had a look. Anyway, two goals to the following. Hayden Ballantyne, two goals. Nat Fyfe, two goals. Chris Mayne, two goals. Tendai Mazungu, two goals. Lockie Neal, three goals. Matty Pavlich, two goals. Nick Subin, two goals, and Michael Walters with two goals. Singles to Michael Barlow, Zach Clark, Ryan Crowley, Matt DeBoer, Paul Duffield, Tommy Sheridan, and Cam Sutcliffe. In fact, the only unlucky people not to score on that day, Duck, I would like you to give two of the five names that didn't score on the day.
McFarlane?
No, he did not play in this game.
Johnson? Did you say Johnson?
Johnson did not score, correct.
Johnson, and I'm going to say, Zach Dawson, of
Zachy
course.
Dawson, of course,
Zach
yes.
Dawson, thanks for the clue, mate.
Yeah.
did you say Ibbotson?
Ibbotson did not play in this game. Now, this was the game, by the way, because it was round 20, so we knew Ibbo wasn't going to make the grandy.
That's right,
so this
that's
was...
Right,
I. I had grave fears knowing that Ibbo was not, because he was playing a great season.
All right, give me the five, mate. Give
okay,
me the
so
three.
Alex Silvani.
Ah.
So Alex Silvani, where are we here? So Zachy Dawson.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael Johnson. Mm. Yep.
Zach Dawson.
Zach Dawson, Lee Spurr.
Oh.
And Alex Silvani.
Said Alex Silvani twice.
Did I?
Yeah. So Alex Silvani. Maybe there isn't a fifth person.
Michael Johnson. Oh, David Mundy. My bad, David Mundy.
David Mundy didn't get a goal.
Yeah, have a look at yourself, Dave.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who got the votes, mate? Who got the Brownlow votes?
Brownlow votes for the three went to Nicky Subin.
Nick Subin got three Brownlow votes.
Yeah, got four clearances in that game as well. Two votes to Michael Barlow and one vote to Lachie Neal.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it's time to go into the predictions. Now, last time I checked, I was on the old sportsbet/beteasy/whatever you want to call it. The Dockers were outside favourites at 255, and the GWS Giants were paying $1.55, mate, which I think is
gamble
very, very interesting. Mm. Yes. You know, just take that money and maybe just invest on the Fremantle Dockers, mate, because I reckon we're at hot sniff. Fremantle 245, Dockers, GWS 156. The line is 9.5 points, mate. What's your thoughts? How are we going to go on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, look, I think our last home game, the boys are up and about and they want to put on a show, certainly for the fans, but more so to prove that they really have over the past, gee whiz, 5-6 weeks, they really have shown improvement in their game, more so than 5-6 weeks, to be honest. But I'm thinking Freo win this one, 3 goals, 3 points.
Oh, 21 points. All right. I reckon, let's have a look. Prediction. Sunny day, probably. GWS are really struggling with their goal kicking. They can't just bomb it in, mate. I reckon GWS kick 5 goals. Dockers kick 9.
Yeah.
There we go.
Love
All right, guys. On that note, make sure you get down to the game. Dockers' last home game. Get around it, guys. Let's hope to get 27,000 there. See the boys off. Remember, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get podcasts. And follow us on at the Purple Rain 95. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And why not have a look on Redbubble and buy some of our merch? Search,
what's it called again?
Redbubble. Oh, okay. And you want to search up Purple Rain Pod.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic. All right, guys. See you later.
See you later.